I'm Marissa Sergi, the CEO and founder of Redhead Brands. I'm speaking with Derek Champagne about my entrepreneurial journey.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. We have an awesome guest in studio today, Marissa Sergi. She is the founder and CEO of Redhead Brands, Redhead Wines, and she's been selected recently with the Walmart tryout program out of 500 companies. Welcome to Northwest Arkansas and to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about kind of where you started and what got you to where you are today as far as having this, your own brand, your own wine brand.
Yes, it's a little complicated, so get ready. I am a third-generation winemaker. My grandparents immigrated to this country from Italy with just a suitcase and a dream. So my grandfather brought over the tradition of winemaking, so it's been a family legacy. So my father learned from my grandfather, I learned from my entire family, and in fifth grade, I officially wanted to be a winemaker in my career. So I took it to Cornell University. They have a viticulture and enology program there where I got a lot of my foundation there as well and started Redhead Wine as my capstone project to graduate. So originally it wasn't a business. It was just for fun to see how well I could make a wine and market a label. And now I am doing it full time. Just made a deal with Walmart and Southern Glazer Wine and Spirits. I'm beyond excited.
That's super cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I want to dig back a little bit when you were younger, because I always like to start there. I have similar in my life, have things that happened to me as an early age. Music took me on a path as a musician for years, my parents being involved in that for generations. Uh-huh. And so I get that generational passing on the passion. What did you, how into it were your parents? I know it passed down and your grandparents came from Italy, but what level of participation did they have? And did you pick it up and take, obviously took it even farther, but just give me some insight to your kind of your childhood that way.
Yeah, so my father, apparently from my grandma, started making wine at 2 years old with his father, my grandpa, Dominic Sergi. And my father, Frank, he made it as a hobby. He used to work for the Ohio Department of Transportation. But after he was hit by a drunk driver going through a red light while he was in his truck, he has 6 dislocated discs in his back and neck. So he wanted to take his winemaking hobby into a career so it could be less labor intensive. He wasn't paving roads or, you know, taking paving out the snow on the ground. And being able to see my father take it from a hobby to establishing Luvabella Winery, which is in Youngstown, Ohio, was such an amazing transition for him. And I saw that from a very young age. So I was thrown into it.
A lot of people, even now as adults, are still trying to figure out what they want to do. And you had this really clear passion. What all do you attribute having that kind of clarity and direction? And was there a time where you kind of, not that wavered, but looked at some other areas, I don't know, marketing, whatever it was, and then honed back in? Because it seems like you have a pretty well-rounded skill set to even launch this company.
Yes, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do when I graduated, like most people, but having that family legacy in the Sergi name was really helpful because it was something I was really passionate about, lots of fond memories, and my mother helped me discover that Cornell University did have a viticulture enology program. I had no idea, so I applied and was thankfully accepted. So yeah. Being able to study at Cornell really showed me that it was my true passion because I took classes and I was able to pay attention. It came as like a second nature for me. So it was helpful to have that base as a third generation winemaker, but taking it to the next level at Cornell really, really helped solidify that foundation for me to pursue this as my full-time career.
It's really cool. I love that. I mean, I come from the old school entrepreneurs where you held your cards close. You did things trial and error, which you understand as well, but we didn't have the support system. Or if we did, I came from the old school where we didn't take help.
Yeah.
So I love now seeing these kinds of programs, especially at universities like Cornell, where they not only nurture that, but they encourage you to come up with projects and businesses and products, which is so cool. So tell me the value that you had at Cornell and actually developing your actual product you have now.
Cornell was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. The staff, the faculty, the students, everything was an instrumental part to who I am today as a person. Not only did I learn and grow into who I am today, but I was just a winemaker with an idea. It's my capstone. But getting thrown into a business plan competition kind of by accident and having the hotel school of administration really showcase their interest to mentor me and really showcase my skills that I needed to be successful really helped me get started. The Pillsbury Entrepreneurship Center in the hotel school was so important because they had the Entrepreneurs in Residence program and other business plan competitions and resources that took me from that winemaker to a business owner.
That's great. So what other advice do you have to those in their early 20s who may have an idea or are not sure about entering a program or a contest? Or what do you tell them if they feel driven but aren't sure what to do next?
Risk is so frightening to a lot of people, including myself. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, were afraid to put our whole heart into something and then fail. But as I've grown into this role as the CEO of Redhead Brands, I've been able to really be more fearless with risk, and I really want to showcase through my journey that just take it now. Go. Put all your chips in. Cash your life savings and go into that company that you want to start or help invest in a friend's idea, because the answer is always no if you don't ask.
Right.
If you don't try, you're already rejecting yourself. Give yourself a chance to pursue your dreams. It's so cliche, but you don't want to be 70 years old living in regret. Oh, what if I took that risk and went all in or moved to California or moved to Singapore or wherever? Just go for it. Start today. Make that social media handle for your business, or send that email to get advice from a professor, because you may as well take those baby steps that will snowball into a larger effect for that company to really get momentum.
Right. That's great. I love that advice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does feel cliche, but to go all in, that's advice I share often too, is there's so many people sitting on the fence or doing things 60% or 70%. I'm not talking about kids. We consult businesses, and a lot of the business owners are going in 70, 80%. And when you go in 100%, things start to fall into place. People have buy-in around you because they see how committed you are and your team is, and your team starts to believe in the mission and getting behind you, and it just creates such a domino effect of momentum towards your vision, which
Absolutely.
Is huge. So you talk about asking a professor, and again, I told you I lived on an island for a long time of not asking for help and keeping my cards close, and I've since learned that. I learned that in my late 30s. Wish I'd learned that in my early 20s. But you talk about also being okay to ask for help and not having to know everything. And you talked about reaching out to professors. Tell me about reaching out to others and it being okay, and our entrepreneur listeners and our business owner listeners, of it's okay if you don't know everything, but what do you do next?
Yes, I don't have an MBA. I don't have any business classes under my belt except maybe one entrepreneurship course by Professor Neil Tirallo at Cornell. So I'm pretty much on the job getting that real-life MBA through these experiences I've had. So I don't want people to be in my shoes and feel like they're not good enough because they don't have that. No one's perfect. If you start with admitting that, everyone else will feel comfortable kind of getting in that zone too, because it's exhausting acting like you know everything.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to admit my faults and my downfalls. And I think that's empowering, because you're showing an example to other people to hopefully get them to get on board with, you know, asking that question they're afraid to. You don't want to be in a room of 500 people and ask, what's a profit and loss sheet?
Right.
But if I had to, which I do know what that is now, thankfully, right. I would have asked.
Right.
There's other things that might be shocking I might know, but I know that as an entrepreneur, and there's other business owners and entrepreneurs out there, we're all in this journey together. let's just collaborate, network, work together so we could all reach our goals. Because every Fortune 500 company started from nothing. Right. So we need to have that attitude where we could do the same thing, just really build something from nothing and really use teamwork. So admitting your faults have been really instrumental for me to do that.
That's great. That's good advice. Thanks for sharing that. You know, I found also that some really highly qualified, high-profile people, if they're in the right mindset and you are, or we are,
yes,
then they're often willing to help. And they're in that payback. I'm in that way in a smaller sense, but whenever I can have a mentor or mentee, either mm-hmm. way, there's great qualified people that want to give back and help you if you ask.
Absolutely.
If they're in the right place and you are, right?
Yes.
So tell me, keep going a little bit. Let's talk about your product. You're in Walmart headquarters today. That's where our show is based out of. And so we need to hear about that as well.
Yeah. So for those who are listening, I am a redhead and I love spicy hot wings. And being able to follow my sense of hunger to this meeting I had at Cornell where I received a email while I was procrastinating class. And there was a entrepreneurial meeting with free wings over Ithaca. Best wings in Ithaca, in my opinion. So I was just a winemaker with an idea. I brought my redhead wine bottle to showcase that I was an entrepreneur, per se, so I can get the delicious wings at this meeting. And Deborah Mosch, who was running the Student Business of the Year type of program, came to the meeting and said, hey, if you're a student entrepreneur and showed up, you have to give a 60-second elevator pitch. Literally, my stomach started turning because public speaking scared me so badly, and knowing that I had to give this pitch on a non-existent business I had was even more terrifying. So I quickly Googled wine industry facts and was able to rock the stage, and I was nominated for the Cornell Agriculture of Life Sciences College within Cornell as their Student Business of the Year nominee.
Wow.
So I went from having an appetite to starting this ball rolling to become a business owner through this experience.
Wow.
And the hotel school at Cornell was able to mentor me through that process. That's what I touched about a little bit earlier.
Right.
So showing up is kind of half the success I've had. Being in the right place at the right time, although you don't even know what opportunities are presented through those events. So I really suggest that you just try to get more involved on campus or your community, volunteer for philanthropy events. You just never know what's going to prosper from it. Or an email about free food.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Thank you.
One thing that stands out to me is that you took action. And you, even though you were afraid of public speaking, which you're on a microphone now, and so am I. I shared that fear when I was younger, too. I talk about that often. I started waiting tables to get over my shyness.
Great.
I was just that shy. But I knew I couldn't be effective in business unless I got over certain things. So I like that you did that. What do you say to someone who wants to get out there but goes, oh, yeah, but then I'd have to speak. Or I want to do this, but I'd have to get in front of people. Or I'd have to tackle this, and I don't know about that.
Definitely. I have to make a side note. I mentioned earlier, I am a redhead, so if I left that meeting, people would know. So I had no choice but to give that elevator pitch that day. But now that I have spoken in front of hundreds of people, some of the tactics that I've used have been really beneficial that I've shared to my friends. So for the show, everyone is showing up to your talk because they want to learn from you. People want you to be there. So if you at least put your mind in that perspective, that really helps. Because I think a big fear of all of us is that we're going to these public speaking events and people are there to make fun of us. We're going to stumble or stutter and not recover. But even if you do, who cares? Keep going, showcase your passion, and really knowing the topic that you're speaking about makes it even more comfortable. So if you talk about wine and I'm here to talk about redhead, I can talk about it all day and not break a sweat.
Right.
But if I have to talk about certain numerical business situations, I might freak out because I'm not the best when it comes to bookkeeping or numbers, which I do have people to help me with that. But, you know, you just got to stay in your lane.
Right.
Don't act like you're a guerrilla marketing expert when you don't know anything about marketing.
Right.
Or you love certain structures or architecture, like, don't try to be someone you're not. So as long as you're yourself and you really realize that you're providing value to the groups you're speaking to, you shouldn't have any issue.
Yeah, that's great advice. One of my mentors, Aaron Walker, who is doing some amazing things out there, says, what's simple to you is profound to others.
Yes.
We all have something in some area, even if it's a student that can say, hey, here's how to get across the campus, or here's how to live on a budget and still have a good time. And there's something, and then that's a very simple, specific example, but I think we all have something to offer. But it's also that mindset of saying, you know, I know, now there's also the danger of saying I know everything, but to get in the mindset of saying there's something I'm good at, or there's something I kind of have a lean towards that I like, mm-hmm. and I'm going to become an expert on that. And we all have something big to give, but we have to flip that mindset too, that we have something to offer.
Absolutely. You're right on the money with that.
So let's talk now. So you started your company, but I want to hear about the snowball, because I love talking about that. I love the small moments of startups and the creative ones of when you get the idea and you go, I guess this is rolling down the hill. This is a legit business. So number one, but when did you say this is what I'm going to put my time into? And then number two, when did you have a moment where you said, oh, this thing is taking off?
Absolutely. A great question during this time, because I literally just left Southern Glacier Wine and Spirits. Part of their headquarters is in Rogers, Arkansas. And I was able to discuss a regional, national rollout with distribution for Redhead Red Blend, which is amazing. But
huge.
Rewinding to the beginning of this snowball effect, you know, I was that winemaker with an idea, but after pitching in multiple business plan competitions and getting many professors and other entrepreneurs to look at my business plan, I fine-tuned it with my team. We entered the business plan in the Queen's Entrepreneurs Competition in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
And it's a global competition. During my time, over 200 business plans were entered from across the globe.
Wow.
Literally the globe. I didn't even know that at the time, but I received an email in October. This is October 2014. And there was like, congratulations, Marissa and Team Redhead. Your business plan was ranked top 15 around the globe by the QEC.
Wow.
And I honestly forgot I entered the competition, so I almost fell off my seat. I couldn't speak. I was so speechless, because I was realizing right there and then that this could be something. Mm. So we drove up to Canada. It was a team of four of us, including myself, and we pitched, and one of the senior vice presidents of marketing of Constellation Brands was my judge. Very
wow.
ironic.
Wow.
And he had nothing but positive things to say. And you go to these competitions to get that critique,
right.
That positive.
That's one of the values, is to get the critique too.
Yeah, that
yeah.
feedback, criticism that's constructive.
Right.
And I left there and knew that this could be something very special. And we kept winning business plan competitions, maybe not first place, but at least placing. And then I did sign a full-time offer at E&J Gallo Winery, because I wanted to work for Gallo the entire time. In my freshman year, that was my goal. And after I signed my offer, I was like, oh my goodness, maybe Redhead could be a career of mine, because I'm really passionate, I'm outgoing, I enjoy speaking with people and just really improving people's life experiences with wine. But after a year of working there, I kept thinking, it is time that I try this. Not because I didn't enjoy Gallo, I miss it, honestly. But I knew I'd regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't try now. I was 22 years old at the time, now I'm 23. And within the last 4 weeks, that snowball has gotten very large at the end of the mountain. You know, with Southern Glacier, with making a deal with Walmart for a test market in Ohio and Michigan and maybe some other states.
Right.
I'll find out more information later today or tomorrow.
Cool.
And I might have my own documentary series through Food & Wine Magazine, People Magazine, and Time, Inc.
Wow.
That's not 100% sure, but it's two-thirds of the way there.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm not being super intense right now, but I'm just so grateful, and I want people to take what we're discussing today and really embrace the opportunities for entrepreneurs across the globe. I wouldn't have gotten to this position if it weren't for the Youngstown Business Incubator or all the entrepreneurial resources in the United States.
Yeah, that's great. Your story is really exciting. It's been, 3 years?
About three and a half, four.
Okay. So in that time, so whenever I'm a guest on podcasts, they like to ask me sometimes about my failures. And I'm older, so I've had quite a few. Mm-hmm. And I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, so I've had some business that have done well, and I've had some that have given me scars to go, oh, that's why we don't do that. Okay, yeah. I got it. Have there been any moments in the last 3 or 4 years where you've either experienced setbacks or disappointment? And we don't have to harp on them because I'm an eternal optimist. But what's the mindset you've had that's kept you going?
Well, the first month and a half of my full-time journey with Redhead, I lost 3/4 of my life savings with a very bad business deal because I signed a contract with an individual that was supposed to help me, that I didn't outline the specific duties and my expectations. I base a lot of my business deals, well, used to, out of trust. I still trust everyone that I'm dealing with, but I make sure that the outline and the expectations are more specific. And I was heartbroken. I worked so hard for that money, and I should have just lit it on fire. That's how I felt. I wasted it. But after I picked myself up, I ate some Ben and Jerry's ice cream, maybe a glass of wine or two. But I learned from that, and it's really helped me shape my business deals now and who I am today. Never sign a contract that you don't know from A to Z, guys out there. But yeah. Definitely a huge lesson I've learned.
That's great. Yeah, never sign a contract that you didn't review and yep. probably have an attorney review. Number two, have a contract.
Yes.
I got burned a couple of years ago. You think I'd have learned by now. And just we'll figure it out with some buddies. So we've done good business in the past before, and it was no one's fault necessarily. Mm-hmm. Just there weren't clear expectations. And we just said we'd figure it out as we go. And we all are fair to each other. We have been in the past, and so we'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
But that's great. So what's your mindset, though? Yeah, Ben and Jerry's and a glass of wine. Too. That's great. A lot of people, though, are either – number one is either there's fear of even failing, so they don't do something. The second type is they – didn't have a fear of failing, or they went ahead and jumped off, like we're saying, just go for it. And then they had setbacks, and now they're going, okay, well, no, if I touch that, it's hot, I get burned. Well, yeah, but there's something bigger on the other side sometimes.
Yes.
How did you get to that mindset? What else? So what's your shift where you go, hey, yeah, that happened, but why would I give up on this? Is it passion? Is it such a belief in your product? Is it determination? What takes you to continue to even grow even more?
It's a little bit of everything you mentioned, including – I'm very fortunate to be in the position where my family is very supportive. My parents, Frank and Ruth Sergi, they've been married for over 25 years now. And I know I have that in my back pocket. So if I do lose every dime to my name, I can, have their support and get myself back on my feet. So it's really helped me become fearless. So I don't want to be on the show and act like that. I'm doing this all myself. I have so many individuals I couldn't even name in an hour's time because there's so many that are helping me in the background, because honestly I don't have any direct employees right now. I've been working with my parents' winery, Luvabella, and my parents as advisors and other advisors from all over the country and internationally. I just want people to reach out and use resources even if they don't have a supportive family system like I do, because there's a lot of incubators, a lot of towns, startups are hot, entrepreneurship is booming in the United yeah. States, especially with Walmart's Made in America Open Call Initiative.
Right.
They pledged to buy $230 billion of U.S.-made products in the next 6 years. Yeah. They've already been doing this for four.
Yeah.
So there's opportunity out there. You just gotta find that way to take that risk from inside of your heart and put it out there.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Great to share. And I'll touch on Walmart for a second. Obviously, it's a positive experience. I've lived in other places as well where people said, Walmart, you're from Walmart country. Here's all the terrible things happening. Well, you know what? You know, there's two sides to every story. And I've been able to, from pretty much growing up here, and again, moved on and came back to seeing the people that's helped as well. And that's another reason, again, we don't do any business with Walmart,
mm-hmm.
but we've interviewed people sitting right there who have been in 400 Walmart stores and they have this and then start employing so many people. And they're just, the success story is amazing. So there are two sides of every story. And I want our listeners from all over right now, outside of Walmart country
yes.
too, to hear a real life example of somebody who's having their life in a positive way and being touched in a big way by this participation with a big box store.
Yes. Honestly, walking into the open call event was so overwhelming at the beginning because there was over 750 vendors and you're allowed to bring 1 to 3 people per company. So I was in a sea of people and I'm only 23. I know I'm young. I'm not going to act like I'm such a seasoned business owner. So I wanted to take it in as a learning experience, but Walmart did a more than phenomenal job making every single person feel welcomed, wanted as a vendor, and prepared. They had a pre-buyer meeting where they not only had VPs of the company speak to us, but they had someone who was sitting in our seat 4 years ago who first got rejected. Her company's called 50 Strong, actually from Lima, Ohio. It's a water bottle company. They wanted her to change a few things of her product. The next year she got accepted, and now today she's in all 8,600 Walmarts across the United States. So she explained the feeling she felt in her experience at the buyer meeting. So I was sitting here with my VP of sales, Bill Santangelo. We were feeling pretty good because we really got that connection from her and the VPs who were so warm and welcoming. But then the next day, the governor of Arkansas spoke, the CEO of Walmart spoke to us, and so many amazing other people. And it was a process where even if you did feel confused, there were a lot of Walmart associates there to guide you and give you help or water, made sure you weren't going to pass out from not eating anything. So Walmart really took a huge initiative to not only invest $230 billion in the United States economy, but make you feel like you're a part of the Walmart family even before they approved your product.
That's great. And, you know, and again, being in this area as long as I have, you know, Walmart and living abroad other places, people think of Walmart as this giant entity, and it is. But here, there are neighbors, our friends. We go to church with them, and they're real people that have real families. And then they're decision makers, like you said, that are key decision makers. But they're just part of our community like anyone else's community.
Yes.
Good people, really good people. Tell me what's next for you. I mean, obviously, you have this huge test in Walmart and all these big deals happening.
Yeah, so with Red Hen, I want to see myself really craft a value-added marketing program where I'm not telling you to buy Red Hen. I want you to buy Red Hen because you love wine, you want to try something different, you like the brand, you like the story, you want to support a young person starting a business, an entrepreneur. I'm not a big brand yet. I'm just a person trying to embrace my grandparents' sacrifice for immigrating here with every opportunity. So that's partially why I started Red Hen as a business. But I want to make sure that I'm a strategic partner with every store and business or brand that I partner with, because I'm not trying to make money here. Of course, like, I need to pay my bills and all that fancy stuff, but this is my passion. I just want it to happen. I want everyone in America to have the ability to go and buy my wine and try it, share their life's moments with my product, because wine enhances life. You know, you drink in good times, maybe in some stress. It's just a great beverage to spend your life enjoying. And I want to make sure that I'm not just a brand you hear about now. I want it to be something that you hear about 10, 20, 30 years from now. It's something that I really believe in, and my customers really enjoy my product. So it's really nice to see my efforts being appreciated too.
It's awesome. So where can our listeners right now, but where can they find your product right now?
Yeah, so I'm only selling Red Hen in Ohio currently, specifically the northeastern parts and in Cincinnati, only at Jungle Jim's International Market. Okay. But I know a lot of people do visit Jungle Jim's. But you can buy it online through my website, redheadwine.us. I could legally ship to about 38 states. But now with working with Southern Glacier, I want to get into New York next, Michigan, and at least Northwest Arkansas at some point. Yeah. Just being able to sell alcohol in every state is very complicated because it's federal and state regulated. So there's a lot of red tape I have to jump through. But I do plan on distributing it here, hopefully in the next 6 months to a year. I can't say like next week, it could be, but there's a lot of other companies and individuals part of this process, so I'm patient. But please keep an eye out for it. I would really appreciate you guys trying it and letting me know what you think. Redhead Wine without an S.
Redheadwine.us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the distribution process, and we've interviewed others that have gone through this bigger distribution process with Kroger and Walmart and others, and sometimes it would be a 6 month, a 4 month, a 10 month waiting period. So
yes,
even when there was approval, and sometimes it was faster.
Yeah.
And there's just so many factors that, so I guess that's a question I have for you, is how do you be patient? Because it's so exciting. And if you're anything like me, I want to see stuff now. I'm patient in building. I have a vision. I want to build things. I know where I'm going, but I want to get there now. And I want to keep seeing progress. And entrepreneurs are fed by one of our, right, it's not even money. It's
yeah,
seeing progress and seeing this evolve and grow and passion, and it spark to others, and the others enjoy your product and see the value on it. How do you be patient waiting for big, big things?
I am so glad you just asked this, because I've been speaking with Kroger since last November. They wanted my product December 1st of 2016, and it's still in the process of being approved.
Yeah.
So I think is it 10 months now? I can't even think right now, but it's been a long time. They just resubmitted the approval form today.
Okay.
And being patient has been something that I've been able to do with Kroger, because I have a lot of back-ended work, because I'm trying to elevate my boxes, because right now they're white and ugly. So I've been able to purchase branded boxes that should be arriving at my winery any day now. So this waiting period has been worth it in hindsight, because I could have branded boxes for my wines in Kroger. But it's nice to kind of take some of those impatient moments and be productive. Like, oh, I wish I were in X amount of stores, but I'm not. What could I do to kind of help move that along? Maybe a new interview or new marketing ideas you can throw out there, or getting a buzz going where customers are asking for your product in those stores. So kind of planting little grenades all over the place to see if it works or not in your favor.
Yeah.
So there's a great balance that I have with keeping patient and impatient, where I'm able to handle these lengthy processes, but also I'm just grateful that my product is on shelves in the first place. So maybe I'm an anomaly where I'm super patient, but I want people to be able to take that on-edge anxiety and anticipation into something positive by doing something about it.
Yes, I get that. And in my early days in my business, I worked 12 hours a day, but I was like, I'd put a suit on and go sit by myself in an office.
Yes.
and just like, okay, I'm going to will this hat. If something's slow, let me work on this. And if this isn't happening, so what does your day look like? Because I know you're busy flying around and doing things. What does it look like to be the CEO of your company right now? And then what does a work day look like for you?
My work days are so different. Some days I have to wake up at 3 in the morning to go to Cleveland, then Columbus and Cincinnati all in one day, or I get to sleep in till 10 o'clock sometimes. Huh. It's one of those type of schedules where I treat myself a little bit, because if you don't get enough sleep, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Right.
At least for me, I need my sleep, but also I can handle running on 2 or 3 hours if needed.
Right.
But usually on a typical day, answering emails, kind of setting up interviews or other opportunities to get the word out there, and I'm visiting stores. I like to go in person to speak with the buyers and the wine stewards to make sure that the product is doing well. If it's not, what could we do to benefit your store better or work with you better? And really showcase that I'm the winemaker, but I'm taking full responsibility for a lot of other facets in the business. So I'm doing sales, marketing, and all the other logistics, although I do have a lot of help on the side. So I'm making sure to do a little bit of everything.
This is a really cool opportunity for us to see a business owner in this particular stage and life cycle of the business, which is so fun for me. We talk to people who have had 10 businesses, 20, that are at the end of their career and are consulting, some that are beginning, and to hear yours, where you literally today, before you came here, I think, got some good news. You're waiting tomorrow to hear more news.
Yes.
This is just, we're getting to be there with you right now during the snowball. So we're going to continue to check in with you. We'd love for you to continue to check in with us and with our listeners so that we can kind of follow what you're doing. Any final things that you want to share about your brand or with our listeners?
Yes. I actually have been bootstrapping my business. I haven't taken any investment. I've been really focusing on what dollars I have and being so strategic for every penny, because I think that's why I've been so successful, because I'm not throwing thousands of dollars to certain aspects of the business and watching it fail and being okay. Right. I'm making sure that that quarter I spent or that $8 I spent on Facebook marketing is effective. And I want people out there to realize that you don't need big investments to build a brand and make your dreams come true. Of course you need capital. You need to invest in your business. But the time that you really dedicate to the business could be more valuable than money you throw out to something else. So I don't want anyone to be discouraged on their financial situation. There's a lot of resources and determination out there to help people like me succeed. Right. So I just want everyone to get out, get going, take that risk, you know, to maybe invest $100, $1,000, take a small loan, just go, because the American dream is alive and very well out there today.
Yeah, that's great. And you're a great case study of that. And I like what you said. You know, you can live like a rock star now while you're building your business, or you can save it and invest it in your business and live like a rock star later and enjoy the building of it. That's great advice. And I think I see so many people who want the CEO title or the ownership title and those benefits right away when they spend on that lifestyle instead of investing it back in their company and growing their company. And that is great advice that'll serve people well to listen
great.
To. Thank you again for being our guest. Thank you for being in the studio. And again, that's redheadwine.us.
Yes.
And we will continue to follow. Where else may someone follow you if they want to learn more about
you? Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My Instagram and Twitter handles is at redheadwine. And my Facebook, if you just Google redhead, one word, space wine, you'll see it out there. So.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes for our podcast version. Marissa Sergi, thank you so much again. And we look forward to watching the great things that are happening with you and with your business.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.